We're back with the second half of this episode of the Rolling with the Golds podcast. And even though it's a little cold, we're going to talk some warm weather with our couple athletes coming up here.
Yeah, right, and we were actually just talking about that in the lobby.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Nice. So
indoor sports. Sir.
Indoor sports. But why don't you, as a tradition, as we usually do on this podcast, introduce our two guests this time that we got.
Two guests. And honestly, it's been way too long. And by too long, I mean this might be this program's first appearance on the podcast,
if I remember
correctly.
Yeah.
Just with how things have gotten busy over the past couple of years. And so we're very thankful to have these gentlemen here in the studio. We have Ethan Wurtzel and Peyton Seffert from the men's tennis team. Ethan, a fifth year senior, who has been here for a while now, but has really been able to, you know, help establish that culture, even through some coaching changes. And then Peyton, you know, the young gun on the block that hopefully is looking to stay here for 4 years and kind of take over what Ethan kind of leads with this team. So, but we're plenty of tennis still to play this spring. So, gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Ethan, I mean, you're kind of a local kid, though, too, right? Menominee sort of thing. So, I mean, not too far, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I grew up in Menominee. I was actually, funny enough, I was actually born here.
Yeah.
But 2 years, when I was 2 years old, we moved away.
Okay.
And then I grew up mostly in Menominee and played tennis there.
Just down the street.
Yeah.
Not too far away.
Yep. So. Yep. I grew up here. I always played at the center but I'd have to travel here, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you guys, and then obviously, you know, Minneapolis a little bit further, but not too far, right, there. So why don't you guys, before we kind of get into it, give us a little bit of a background. How did you get in tennis, your first early memories, what kind of drew you to the sport, and kind of where you're at right now?
Well, I grew up, I didn't start playing tennis until I was in around eighth grade, freshman year. So I actually played with one of a buddy of mine and his dad. And they were, like, my original, like, coach and team. I mean, I grew up playing with my mom. She also played college tennis. But it was very casual, nothing competitive. But once I got into my freshman year and I realized I really liked this sport, I was like, I should just keep trying to be competitive at this sport. And then I didn't take my first private lesson until, like, sophomore, junior year. And then that just kind of skyrocketed my progression through tennis and really got me going. And then in college, or like in my recruiting in college, he was our two coaches ago, was Gilman, and he recruited me. And then we got the new coach as soon as I came in, and he liked me that way. So, I mean, it was just a kind of a up and down streak of coaches in that way. But yeah, that's how I got into Eau Claire.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, I really didn't play competitively up until about freshman year. I always played casually here and there with my dad, who played D3 college, and my aunt, who played D1 college, but nothing any like competitive. And then I tried out freshman year after I quit baseball, and I was like, let's try this. Let's see where we can get with this, and made varsity as a freshman, played all 4 years there at my high school in Bloomington Jefferson, and was a captain my senior year. And then college, I was barely being recruited just because I didn't really play a lot of tournaments here and there, but took a gamble on coming to Eau Claire, trying out for the team here, and made the team here, and we're just going with it now, and got a great captain with Wurtz with me, so can lean on him a little with that.
Yeah. You guys, kind of listening to your story, it reminds me a little bit of, so my best friend Jake, who is a varsity tennis coach at our high school that we grew up, but like when we were in school, I mean, he was, you know, we were in football, he was a running back, 2,000 yards, everybody thought that was his sport, played basketball. But he just actually told me the other day, he's like, the one regret I have from high school was not investing more in tennis, which kind of is like, because that really, I saw that later on kind of develop into him more of a passion of his was playing tennis. And, you know, great football player, great basketball, all this other stuff. But it was tennis that really drew to him, and was kind of a little bit of a later start for him as well over there. What was it about tennis from you guys? You know, a little bit of a later start. Sounds like you got some history with it with your family. But was there something else that kind of just really got you hooked on tennis to play it into your collegiate careers?
Yeah, my part of it was that I realized I could play college tennis. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I could probably do this more of my life. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, dang, if only I realized that sooner, like right. kind of how you were saying,
yep.
if only I realized that sooner, I probably would have, I mean, I probably would have taken more lessons like a week, and I probably would have asked more, like, better players to hit. I mean, I got a little bit of that through, like, school and then, like, through people that were in Menominee and Eau Claire,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely would have branched out a little more. If,
right.
But once I realized that, I was like, well, now I just got to fully commit to it, you mm-hmm. know? So kind of how you were saying it, it was because basketball was my main sport in high school. And then I realized I could play longer with tennis. So that's kind of mm-hmm. the path I went into.
Exactly.
Yeah, for me, I'd say, I mean, football was my main sport growing up. Like mm-hmm. football, basketball, baseball, dropped baseball, played football, basketball. And then high school, I picked up tennis. And football, I mean, that was my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a lot of injuries here and there, realized tennis could go a lot farther,
mm-hmm.
and had a good group of guys for football, but mm-hmm. it was just time for me to move on to something that I could do the rest of my life and
mm-hmm.
maybe do something in college with.
Right. And you could go to a court and play, right?
Yeah, right.
you know,
right.
That sort of thing, yeah. too. So, did you have one?
No.
Oh, okay.
Keep rolling.
All right. So, with that, too, I got to ask, how the – because I try to play tennis. And when I hit the ball, it just goes. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Baseball. Okay. How long did it take you guys to get that spin on the ball so it just, like, drops right there? Because what I tried, it's, like, tattooed and all that, and I can't keep it in bounds and all that. I mean, what was the biggest – is that the hardest thing to learn when you get to tennis? Or how long did that take you guys to master that, if you will?
Well, actually, I work at the tennis center as a tennis instructor, so I could tell you – the easiest way to get that spin
yeah.
is just, like, the motion of it. And so instead, a lot of people like to focus on, like, their wrist,
mm-hmm.
right, because you see the pros do it. But the easiest way to get spin is just, like, the low-to-high motion of the racket. So mm-hmm. it has to go under the ball and then over the ball, and then that's what gets you the spin, the
okay.
top spin that lands in.
Because I've slow-mo'd YouTube videos trying to figure that thing out, and it's like, I don't know how that goes.
Yeah. I used to I had a coach who was, like, more of, like, just, like, a hitting partner, but he would just say, yeah, just look up, like, Roger Federer forehands, and you'll get it down, and, like, slow-mo. And I was like, you know, that might help, right? But I don't look like Roger Federer at all.
For some people, I mean, watching videos and stuff helps. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of one of those people that learns from watching other people or watching videos or stuff, but mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, like, need to learn hands-on, like, have somebody help them, like, while they're playing with it.
Mm-hmm. So are you guys strictly singles? Have you guys played doubles or anything like that? Or what's your background?
In high school, you can only play one, but
okay.
in college, you can play both.
Okay.
So you can play singles and doubles in college, which I love because in high school, I used to be strictly singles. I only wanted to play singles. And then when I got to college, like, you get to play with better people, and you get to play against better people. And so doubles is kind of more my style,
mm-hmm.
I think. But I'm still a big singles player, for sure.
So how big of an adjustment is that to play from singles to doubles? You know, I mean, going from yourself, and then you have somebody else on your side. Is there a big adjustment to that? Is there just a lot more communication, or...
Yeah, I would say there's a slight adjustment. I think once you get into the higher level part of college tennis, you do need more of, like, a strategy and communication, and you need more of a, like, a camaraderie with your partner. But if you can just, like, effectively communicate, like, where you're going with the serve, where they're going with their, like, poach or, like, the net player,
mm-hmm.
how you want to attack, like, I mean, you see a weaker player on the other side, you're just like, that's our whole strategy, is mm-hmm. we're going to hit almost every ball to this person, right? So it's, I mean, I think if you can effectively communicate right away, that's going to be the big part in doubles. And then once you get to that higher level and then you start playing more with your partner, then you kind of get into the deeper strategy of tennis.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I mean, my high school career, I was a doubles player mainly, so I kind of wasn't really playing singles all the time, so I built up a relationship with my teammate, like, and it was always fun just to play with them, bring the energy. Like, that person in your doubles team pretty much becomes, like, your best friend.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, you'll hang out outside of, like, practices, outside of matches. You'll go and get food together, go do this, do that. And it's always fun to have somebody that you can relate to, especially as a partner.
Kind of piggybacking off of that, you said, you know, your doubles partner is kind of your best friend. How is the transition from maybe, you know, whether it's an injury to, you know, a teammate or, you know, they got something going on or coach likes this matchup differently? Like, how is the transition from playing with, you know, one doubles partner to another? I'm assuming, Peyton, you kind of played with the same people all through high school. Ethan, I've seen the box scores. You played with a lot of people here, you know, 5 years worth. But, like, how is that transition? Is it, like, is it pretty seamless just because everybody's on the same page because you're on the same team? Or is it kind of, you know, does it kind of differ based on the teammate?
Yeah, for me, you kind of have to go off of your partner as well. So right now, I've got my partner right now is Andrew, and he's a bigger guy, big serve type of player. So it's easier for me at the net, but like my my movement here is now more important. So it's, and then last year or the year before that, I was playing four doubles, so I wasn't even in the lineup. And then I got moved into it with Jared, who's graduated already. But you have to kind of, you don't have to change the way you play because that's never what you want to do. But you have to definitely communicate with your partner right away, right? Like I was saying before. So to move from like partner to partner is difficult. But in college tennis, you kind of get those higher level players and you kind of just have to go off what they are. Right? So I think one more thing, sorry.
No, you're good.
We were playing in Florida. So the past 2 years we played some Division II teams. And it was funny, the first match, I think my sophomore year, the coach was like, "Hey, we're gonna switch up the lineup." He puts me with Jared, and then me and Jared beat this Division II team 6-0 against and it was our first match ever playing together. We didn't even practice together. So, I mean, the communication and, like, we had a good coach coaching us up throughout that whole match. And then last year, it was me and Pablo. And now Pablo and I have played probably, like, four matches before this. And it was probably a lot of practice matches. And then we beat one of the top Division II teams, St. Leo, like, 6-4. So I mean, it's really just communication, and you just gotta go with your partner, like, get his strengths and then your strengths, and then kind of like coalesce.
Question for both of you. I'll start with Peyton. It's the same question, but, you know, Peyton, you mentioned you used to be a baseball player and such. How much did a baseball swing affect your tennis? Was it an adjustment? Did it actually maybe help you out a little bit?
So with baseball, like, it was tough, like, transitioning to tennis, just because I'm like, you have a tiny bat, you're trying to hit a ball, whereas, like, a tennis racket, it's a little bit bigger. But one thing that's different, I'm like, you have so many different angles and so many different, like, spins and in tennis. And so baseball was rough, like, with that, because I'd just try to hammer every ball in tennis that I could. So, like you said, like how you play, where it just sails on you everywhere. I was kind of doing that, especially when I first started out. So it was tough.
Yeah. And then, Ethan, for you, you mentioned basketball was kind of your main one. For that aspect, though, how much do you think the footwork of basketball maybe helped you out in tennis and such?
Yeah, funny thing. Actually, I thought my footwork was probably one of my weaknesses.
Oh, really?
When I first got there. I mean, in basketball, I wasn't much of like a defensive guy. I had pretty good footwork there, but once I got more competitive, though, you start to focus on your footwork. So I guess a lot of like beginners don't really like to focus on it, and I was the same way. But once you got focused on the footwork and you're like, oh, okay, I have to set my feet here, then that basketball aspect definitely came into it. But beginning wise, it was just pretty bad. But like, that's That's for a lot of people, for sure.
How much does equipment matter in tennis? Like, you know, in golf, you hear, you know, you got, you know, the different clubs and the expensive clubs and all that sort of stuff. When it comes to tennis, does equipment make a big difference, whether it's a racket or anything like that? Is there that difference in performance?
Yeah, I will never use another racket than what I have right now, which is a Babolat Pure Strike. I think it matters more to people than you think. So, like, types of strings, mm-hmm. right? So, like, if you use full poly or the type of poly that you use, or Singet. Well, no one uses Singet now, but... and then the shoes, I'll never use anything but Asics. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've got, like, my brands down, yeah. right? But then there, you got some people that have, like, six rackets in their bag.
Yeah.
But that's because they break strings a lot more than I do, mm-hmm. and I've only got two.
Or slam them on the ground, like I see sometimes in the pros.
Yeah. I hope no one on the team does that, because then we got some talking to do. But.
Yeah, so, I mean... For me, I have my brands, too. Like, mm-hmm. I got New Balance shoes. I've got a Wilson Pro Staff for my racket. And then I actually do run synthetic guts, so thank you very much. I run a mix. But, but, no, I mean, you couldn't go and just get, like, a $10 racket at Target and be able
Damn.
To play, like, college tennis
Shoot.
With it. I mean, maybe a $50, $60 racket, maybe.
Yeah.
But, $10, that racket is going to start to warp and break mm-hmm. before you get to play really good people.
What is that the biggest difference or biggest adjustment you guys have had to make going from like high school to college is the level of talent that maybe you go up against?
Yeah, especially as a freshman coming in, mm-hmm. like, it's different. Like,
yeah.
I mean, my high school, we had some good players that are playing at college, and like we just had one commit to Xavier to play D1 tennis, but you're playing guys like that all the time now.
Yeah.
And like if they don't go D1, they're playing most likely D3, like mm-hmm. somewhere. You're playing guys that are either better than you or are just as good as you.
Right.
Yeah, it was definitely a big switch up for me. So going back to my high school days, I was playing in the BRC.
Yep.
And, I mean, we have Eau Claire Memorial, who's won, like, the conference or the section for, like, 18 years, excluding last year. Shout out the Mustangs for winning that. that was the biggest quality of tennis. I mean, there was a couple, when you get to, like, the one singles areas, you get to play, like, tougher players. But our section, we didn't have that. It wasn't a strong section. So when you get into college, you realize that all of those guys could have played one singles in your section. And so you're always playing, like, a one singles from a high school. And one doubles, I guess, if you're talking about doubles. But, yeah, you kind of get that switch up where you're like, you have to bring your A game and your everything that worked in high school. These guys are going to get back, right? Mm-hmm. So they're going to get back, and you're going to have to hit an extra shot to win that point, or you're going to have to make another ball to win that point. And that was my biggest switch up, is like, my serve isn't going to save me here. Mm-hmm. I have to be able to hit another shot to mm-hmm. win this point.
On the topic of, like, opponents, and you kind of had mentioned it when you answered my question about playing with different doubles partners, you know, staying kind of true to yourself and not changing your game. Do you, like, for somebody that doesn't know, like, does strategy change based on, you know, maybe the opponents you're playing or the team you're playing, in a sense of, again, you've been here 5 years, so you've I'm sure you've played, you know, other teams multiple times and the same guys. Do you kind of have an idea of, like, oh, this guy's forehand is lethal, always hesitates to his backhand, or, you know, facing the same doubles partners, this guy isn't as solid? Like, how much does that go into, like, the pre-match for you guys or practice?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not much pre-match, more of like, because we don't really get film, right? I mean, I would love to have some film, because I remember in basketball that really helped us a lot in high school. But your, like, first three games, I would say, is where you get to know your opponent. And usually they fall into a couple styles. You got, like, a pusher, you got a hard hitter, you got a big server, and then you got, like, a counter puncher. And you can kind of like categorize them into that category or one of those categories, and then you kind of go off that. So say like you hit a big hitter, right? So they got a big serve. They're going to want short rallies, right? So your goal is to extend rallies, right? Make them hit one more big forehand than they want to. And then that kind of goes into what your strategy is kind of giving them differing spins, because then they can't hit it in that strike zone as much. So, yeah, it definitely goes into our my strategy especially. And then in doubles, not so much, because we have it's a very shortened time period where it's like our strategy is always get to the middle, always get to the net, keep the ball in the middle, and then make your first volley. That's our big strategy. But singles, you definitely have to switch based on your opponent, I think.
And for me, I mean, it's different. I mean, like, you'll have to switch up. Mm-hmm. Like, I take most times, like a set even, to figure out what they're doing sometimes. And just adjusting to that is a lot different than high school, especially being a freshman. So, but, like, the switch up, you have to communicate that with your partner, too. Like, mm-hmm. what they're doing, what you're seeing, what they're seeing, especially in doubles, like, that's one of those keys,
mm-hmm.
like, is being able to communicate that and figuring out where their weak points are, what shots are working, what aren't, figuring that all out.
When you guys mentioned, you know, kind of lessons in that, when it comes to, like, the off season, maybe this is more so in terms when you guys were in high school and such, because, you know, other sports, whether it's basketball, you got AAU, you got these other teams you could play on, you know, golf, there's other tournaments and such. Is there anything like that for tennis in the off season that like maybe high school players can do to maybe help, you know, gain some college attention, improve their craft? And how much of that is kind of like you got to do that on your own and find that out on your own?
Yeah, it's pretty much all on your own. I mean, there's a couple of team things like JTT. That's what we do at the Y right now, is we host like a JTT thing where it's like all the high schoolers we'll practice like 2 days a week, and then there's this big tournament that we do, and it's team format. But realistically, if you want college attention, you're going to have to do USTA tournaments,
mm-hmm.
and that's all on your own. It's all individual. You can sign up with a partner to get doubles UTR points. But, yeah, a lot of college coaches will look at UTR and, like, how many USTA tournaments you do. And I mean, we don't have the best UTRs like in the conference or whatever, and you could kind of tell a lot of us don't like doing individual tournaments. I never liked to do them as a kid, but they are necessary, and you get great match experience with a lot of better players.
Yeah, for me, kind of the same thing as Wirtz said. Like, we had JTT at my high school, and like it's all a bunch of high school kids, and we have two schools in like our city, so mm-hmm. it was kind of a mix of both schools, and we would go and play tournaments, all these high school kids, and there'd be like a big tournament at the end of the year. But there was also like programs you could do at like Lifetime Fitness, like they would have like high performance programs or like okay. younger grade like training for tennis in the off season, especially during winter, so mm-hmm. you could get inside and play, which that was a big plus for me. Like, I used that a lot.
Especially with where we grow up, right?
Yeah.
In the Midwest there.
One more. So we're from the Midwest, but we actually have like five international students. Yeah, and they might have a little bit more of like a different experience. I know in past years we had people that actually went to tennis academies, right? So it's like Weill or something in California. So that's another aspect that they can do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they probably have different experiences than what we experience in the Midwest, for sure.
This might be a stupid question. I don't know if it's something you guys experienced in your college careers, or maybe you've done it elsewhere, but do you play on different surfaces in college? Is it always the same surface? You know, because in the pros, it's, you know, you got grass, you got clay, you know, and all that sort of stuff. If you have played on different surfaces, do you have a preference in which one that you like better?
I've actually never played on anything but hard court, which, I mean, I like hardcourt. I think my game transitions well to hardcourt, but I would love to play on grass to see how good I could be on grass, because I think, mm-hmm. like, with my serve and everything, I think my, and, like, taking the ball on the rise, like, quick, I think I would be pretty good on grass. Clay, I don't really want to try because I don't like clay. Like, I don't even like the French Open that much. I see their long rallies, and I'm like, that does not interest me in the slightest. So, but I think Coach is having us play not a match on clay, but I think a practice on clay when we go to Orlando for spring break. So that would be kind of interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, for me, I've played on every surface.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, I've done lessons on clay. I've played on hard courts. We play on hard courts for the season, so, like, we won't really play on grass or clay for that. But I know, like, where it's said, we'll play probably some practice on clay in Orlando. But grass is my favorite, probably, to play on just because it's so different than hard court. Like, hard court, it's so fast. You're running everywhere trying to hit everything. Like, and it's super fast paced. And then you get to grass, and you're like, this is so much slower. I'm like, I can read this a lot easier. Like, and different shots are more effective than others on that. And same thing with clay, whereas clay, like, it just grips the ball.
So with that, would you have to think about changing equipment, specifically shoes, with the different surfaces?
Yeah, especially for like clay. I know a lot of people use different shoes for clay. Grass, it's a little different. I've seen people use kind of the same shoes as hardcore, but most times it's mainly clay that you would change for, I'd say.
This will be your first time, Peyton, going down to Florida. Ethan, you can maybe answer this. How nice are the facilities down there at the U.S. Tennis Center? And just, like, what is that experience like? Because we do have a lot of teams that, because, like we all said, we're in the Midwest, we hit that spring, you know, the start of spring sports. Mother Nature doesn't always, you know, agree with us. No. Obviously, you guys have the John and Faye Menards Tennis Center, which indoor sports. Love indoor sports this time of year.
Yep.
But, like, how is that experience, right? Because this will be, what, your fifth time going down to Florida for spring break? Fourth?
Yeah.
So, like, just kind of what is that like?
Well, first, it's a lot of fun. we just get to play. We don't have to worry about school. We just get to go down. It's really nice weather. Hang with the guys, maybe practice once, and then it's just all matches, and it's just a lot of fun. Facility-wise, the courts are real nice. Like, they've got, like, 90 courts at this campus. Some of it's clay. Some of it's, like, where UCF plays, I'm pretty sure. And those, like, they've got stadium seats, and those are really cool because you get to see, like, we don't fill the stadium seats, but, like, it's still a really cool environment, and you get to play when the sun's setting and then the lights come down, and you get to play night tennis, which is probably my favorite time. So, yeah, the facility is really nice, and it's a lot of fun. If you compared, like, the courts, though, I'd still rather play here.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of playing indoors because it's a little faster, a little more high pace, but down there is just a different experience, and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
So,
and this will be your first time going down there, too?
Yeah, so this will be... Funny enough, this will be my first time even going to Florida. Yeah. So,
hey, I've never been there, so don't worry.
I'm like, been to California a bunch, never been to Florida. But, yeah, no, this should be a fun experience. I've heard many things about it, heard some good things, some bad things. But should be a fun time and get to play a different competition and see where the team's at.
So as captain then works, when you go down and you got a newbie going down there with you, is there any extra responsibilities you feel like as captain to help lead these guys down there?
The biggest thing for me is probably the airport debacles, just making sure everybody knows where they need to be. Like, it's like, we got to get there early. We need to get on this plane. Like, don't mess with the TSA, stuff like that. we've got some experience, like, flyers on the group, so I'll probably lean on them too. I mean, I don't travel that much, but I'll lean on some of those experienced flyers as well. But, yeah, just kind of taking the load off Coach because, I mean, it's a big organization to get 12 guys on the right plane and everything and through TSA. So, right.
Well, and just like you said that, maybe you want to end with this one before lightning round. let's talk about Coach a little bit, right? Coach Matt Boughton hired him last summer. This will be his first trip down to spring break, so you might have some added responsibility, kind of being the veteran of the group. But, like, just talk about how that transition was, you know, a little bit for you, Wirtz, and then maybe Peyton can kind of talk a little bit about what the fall was, just what Coach Boughton brings. You know, he's obviously got strong ties to tennis, to Eau Claire, and just how things have kind of started and what you guys kind of see this season under Matt, you know, looking like.
I'm really excited about this. I think I haven't, like, grown up with him, but I've known of him for, like, almost my tennis career, right? So I never took lessons with him. Some of the guys on the team have. And I know he's knowledgeable, and what I've seen so far is he's incredibly organized. He's a great communicator, and we're being set up the best that we can be to have a successful season and to not have kind of like these bumps, these lulls in the season. So I think the spring is going to be a real test for sure. The fall is a lot more laid back, right, than for us. But the spring will be a real test, and I think he's coached a lot. He's coached a lot of high-level tennis, and I think he's up for the challenge. And I think, I mean, if he needs anything, we've got a great group, like, around him, right? So we've got great support. And, yeah, I'm just really excited that he's here. So.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a little bit easier since I got a new coach coming in as a new player, so I don't have to change over like Wirtz does. But super nice guy, like, cares about us for sure and is very knowledgeable. Like, I had some people that worked at where I would train at back in Minneapolis, and, like, they knew Matt. They were like, yeah, he will be a great coach for you. He will make sure you guys are doing what you need to do to be successful, and I think he's doing just that.
Awesome. All right, you want to do some lightning round?
Let's jump into it.
All right, easy stuff. Favorite food?
Pasta.
What kind of pasta? You can't just say noodles. Come on now. You got to.
Spaghetti.
Okay.
probably a burger.
Like cheeseburger, bacon cheeseburger?
Bacon cheeseburger. Bacon,
okay. Pineapple belong on a pizza?
No.
Attaboy.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yes!
All right, so split down the middle. Split down the middle. Best tennis player of all time?
Roger Federer.
I would have to agree with that, Roger Federer.
There we go. All right, there we go. I didn't know if anybody was going to go to Nadal, Djokic, anything like that. Nadal,
but... We could have a strong debate on that if you'd like. I've got my views on that.
That's another podcast for another time. Another podcast. Over there. Favorite hobby besides tennis?
Golf.
Nice.
Pickleball, probably.
Pickleball, really? Yeah.
Oh no!
I don't. Matt's gonna kill us for this, but no.
I would not. I would like to say I do not condone that hobby at all. disgrace.
Okay. No, there's some layers to this. Yeah.
This pickleball. This. I mean, it's a hobby. It's a great hobby, I think. Okay, but I hate it when. Not hate it. I don't. I just didn't. I was not expecting that at all. So it kind of caught me off guard. That but
that's another podcast right there too. favorite movie.
Good Will Hunting.
Nice.
Ooh, I gotta think about this one.
What?
Top Gun.
Nice. All right.
Wait, which Top Gun?
Well, there's one and two, so it's
the original.
Yeah, original.
Top Gun. Yeah. The second one's called Top Gun Maverick. So if you said Top Gun 2, it would have been Top Gun Maverick. So, you know.
If you would have said Top Gun 2, that's technically not a movie.
Well, we would have known what he would have been referring to, so.
Another podcast.
what's the latest thing you guys binge watched or are currently binge watching, like on Netflix or Hulu or anything like that?
I'm rewatching Marvel movies, like the original Marvel movies. So that's probably what I'm binging.
All right.
Show that I've been watching on Prime Video I was not expecting to be good is Beast Games.
Really?
Yeah, I was not expecting it to be good, but somehow I've been watching it.
Nice.
It's been crazy.
All right. All right, so you mentioned Marvel. Favorite superhero?
Well, he's not Marvel, but it'd definitely be Batman.
That a boy. Yeah.
I'm like, you just had to steal mine, but I'll go with Deadpool.
Okay.
Gotta love the comedy.
Yep. Batman's a solid show. So who's the best Batman?
Christian Bale,
oh,
for sure.
Geez. No, we got another one now.
Christian Bale.
Sure. I'll get it because you guys are younger, but the correct answer is Michael Keaton. So just
another podcast.
You guys are making this easy. We can just schedule the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So, what's your favorite thing to our favorite place to go to in Eau Claire? Like, is it a coffee shop or restaurant or somewhere just to kind of hang out? Could be somewhere on campus. We've had that.
Big fan of Dooley's, honestly. Mm-hmm. So, I actually live just right across the street, and it's a great way to just go watch, like, some football games.
Yep.
Watch the Packers win, but
yep,
they didn't win this one. But, yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with Wirtz on that. I mean, Dooley's is great, but also, like, there's a hot pot place right off Claremont, and mm-hmm. that place is actually pretty good. Tried that my first week here with some buddies, and that was a highlight for sure.
Nice. Favorite athlete, either when you were a kid or currently?
Well, if we're going football, I don't know. There was a couple, like Deion Sanders, of course. Mm-hmm. There was like Todd Gurley when he was in his prime. Marshawn Lynch, Brian Dawkins.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going tennis, I've always been a fan of Federer for sure. Like yeah. that was who I tried to model my game after for sure.
Nice. Football ones, there are a lot of hard-hitting tough guys in that one.
Nick just showed me something I put on like a while ago, and it said, "Who's your favorite sports idol?" And it said Brian Scalabrine. So I'll just stay consistent and say Brian Scalabrine. Nice.
Favorite sports team?
Packers.
Nice.
I'm from Minnesota. I'd say probably the Gophers, though. Minnesota Gophers.
That was a safe choice. After that,
I'm like, be proud.
Sam Darnold didn't do good.
Let's just leave it at that. You're one of those.
We'll leave it at that.
I am also a fellow Minnesotan, and I take pride in the Vikings.
If only JJ was healthy.
I would not.
I would not either. So.
A lot of Packers family
members. Biggest influence in your life?
Probably my dad.
I'd say probably my dad, and mm-hmm. then my aunt after that.
Yeah. This might be a little bit different because of the you're a freshman, you're a senior, but where do you see yourself in a few years, maybe 5 years or so?
So I'm going for accounting and finance, hoping to get a job for the summer at a public accounting firm. So maybe see myself there, but I could see myself doing something private, like mm-hmm. private accounting, and then I mean, the goal is always to retire early, so hopefully that, you know.
Yes. Would you like to coach at some point, like kind of what you're doing now a little bit with lessons?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would, I mean, probably something not so much as like what Matt's doing or anything, but mm-hmm. I would love to do just keeping tennis instructing or even basketball, like little kids, like coaching those guys and then coaching like fundamentals and everything. I would love to do that. Great, it would be a great hobby for me.
Yeah, and for me, I'm majoring in exercise science and going to go to graduate school and do mm-hmm. physical therapy and hopefully within the next couple of years go and work with some company or for some sports team doing physical therapy. And, like, I've already got some people knocking on me trying to get me to, like, maybe come to them once I'm done. I was like, sure.
Nice. That's got to make you feel good, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
My connections are huge.
Yeah. You got one before we cut off?
Last one I have is, we obviously have the Australian Open going on right now. Like, do you guys watch a lot of tennis or any tennis at all and kind of just pick up on anything that the pros are doing? Or is it kind of more just like, you know, I have my own thing. I have my own way to strike the ball. I'm good.
Yeah, I watch majors. I don't watch any of, like, ATP stuff. I don't think I can keep up that much with it. Yeah, when I watch like quarterfinals, semifinals, finals, like of majors, it's definitely, I look more mental side and like physical side of it, not so much like shot selection and everything. Djokovic, I gotta give him props there. He's got probably one of the best mental games, and I try and emulate that, right? So, like, in the big stages for him, little stages for me, but I can still, like, emulate his mental game. But, yeah, shot selection, I think, is more of, like, a preference and, like, who you're playing. So, I think I more emulate the mental side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I try to watch as much as I can, especially kind of starting later to tennis, like, just watching these guys that have mastered their craft over the years, like, seeing what they do, seeing what I do, seeing how I can improve myself, seeing how they're kind of failing, how we're not doing as well, like, and then kind of just emulating players, like, mm-hmm. I feel like, especially starting later, you kind of find one of those players, like, on tour that you kind of want to, like, mold yourself after.
Right. All right, before I let you got to give me a little tease. What's with the no Jokic love right now? Just give me, like, really quick.
I was just a big Federer fan all the time. Okay. And, like, just hearing, I don't know, it's more like the MJ LeBron debate.
Yeah.
Type of deal. So it's like, I'm a big, right? Yeah, it's, I was a big fan of Federer this whole time. And, mm-hmm. yeah, Djokovic has won more majors, right? But it's like, Federer's the guy.
Yeah.
It's for me.
So MJ or LeBron, then, to wrap it up.
MJ, okay. For sure.
Yeah, for me with Djokovic, I mean, I don't know. There's sometimes where I'm like, okay, he's not that bad. And then there's sometimes I'm like, I really want to see you lose. I always was a Federer fan, and I always liked Nadal more than Djokovic. Mm-hmm. I'm like, even now I kind of like Alcaraz more than Djokovic, but yeah, but Federer was always my guy. Mm-hmm. And then MJ's definitely the
nice.
GOAT.
All right. Boys, thank you so much. I know your season's coming up beginning of February already, coming up here. So best of luck. We appreciate you guys taking some time and getting to know you a little bit. And have fun in Orlando, too.
Yeah. All
right.
Thanks
Not
for having
us. Too much fun, though, right?
Yeah, right. Thanks for having
Thanks,
us, guys.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, guys.